So we're doing a series through the book of Galatians. If you're new here, we're not actually going to look at Galatians today. We're going to preach some Galatians, but not look at it. And in the middle of the book of Galatians, he asks a very simple question. What has happened to all your joy? So it's like, just keep it up. What has happened to all your joy? Because if we preach properly, if you sit in the church for any length of time, one of the things that should happen is that despite your circumstances, despite your upbringing, despite your dirtiness, despite your debauchery, you should actually become joyful. Yes. You should actually realize that God is powerful enough to get to the bottom of your rubbish. And he can actually completely and utterly erase your past so that you have a future. And many times when I look at the scripture, God is always dealing with our future. The enemy always comes and deals with our past. He constantly reminds us. In the book of Galatians, it says, we are clothed with Christ. Say, we are clothed with Christ. Why don't you stand up, bud? Sorry. Turn around. Jeez, bro.
GGMU.
Yeah, GGMU. I don't know what that stands for, but...
Glory, glory.
Manchester United. I say you will never walk alone.
You need a man.
I say you will never walk alone.
You need a man.
Yeah, and I believe... who's on the top of the table?
It's Arsenal.
Arsenal. Okay, that's very nice. That's very nice. Why don't you get your much better half to come and stand up next to you? And I need a jacket. Any jacket. I won't steal it. I'll give it back to you. Thank you. If I did that, and I asked you a question, is this a male or a female? I know many of you would say female. Because only chicks support Manchester United, but what would you say, male or female?
Male.
And if I said this is male or female, what would you say?
Female.
Yeah, why? Because of the dress code. It's very simple. Your dress code identifies you. Now the book of Galatians says we are clothed with Christ.
Amen.
We're clothed with Christ. So we should be identified by a dress code. Amen? Now, if I said to Annie, who's a very beautiful lady, if I bought a muddied T-shirt that is full of rubbish, and I said to her, Annie, do you mind just going to the change room and putting this rubbish T-shirt underneath this and then coming out again, she would, a wet, muddy T-shirt, of course she would say no. Why? Because it would spoil her outfit. So how then do we allow the devil to put muddied T-shirts between our dress and our skin?
Brilliant.
How do we allow that? It's not possible.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And if I, right now, under that button, he would smack me. I mean, I'd smack him back, but then I'd be charged for racism or something.
True.
I mean, not because of your race, because of your soccer team. It wouldn't be a racial incident, it'd be a sporting incident. But if I did this, immediately all of you feel like, but I'm not allowed to touch that. Why? Because I don't have access to that button. Then how do we allow the devil to touch the clothing of Christ in our lives? How do we allow that? How do we allow him just to come, or some dirty young man come and undo the buttons of righteousness over our lives? How do we allow that? Now, if I said to you, actually, guys, after the service, there are two young people getting married in our church. And the dress code is semi-formal because every wedding has got a dress code on it. I mean, you go through the wedding, this is the time, this is the date, this is the dress code, yes or no?
Yes.
Can he go? No, he can't. Why? He's not dressed appropriately.
Yeah, true.
Can she go?
Yes.
Of course, she's dressed appropriately. Now remember, we're dressed with Christ. That's what Galatians says.
Yeah.
No, I'm just and it's so lucky that some of you guys are coming to church in short pants and slops. But I'm just telling you that you have to understand what it means to be dressed in Christ. And now these Galatians are dressed in Christ, and the enemy comes back and says, you've got to add a jacket, and you've got to undo your button, and you've got to put something on, and you've got to change. And then all of a sudden you think, flip, where's all the joy gone?
Yeah.
Wow.
True. Amen?
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
And so I've been looking at Paul. I love Paul, and I'm an Anglican. It's hard to get Anglican roots out of you. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness. Ek weet julle het dieselfde ding geleer in die Afrikaans kerk. But the other day I walked into my study, and for you Anglicans, you will know this, you'll get goosebumps. I walked into my study and I sat down in my chair and I just had this phrase, now to the King Eternal. Anglicans? Immortal. Invisible. Only wise God. There we go. Now to the King Eternal, immortal, invisible. God only wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, for us six Anglicans. As I want to preach to you from Paul today, and I want to show you that actually he was so radical in his theology that theology should lead to worship, not disappointment. When we understand theology, we should become radiant and we should become joyful. Theology is not meant to bind us up. Theology is meant to loosen us up. Amen? Yes. Theology is meant to result in worship. And I will show you that with Paul. When Paul is writing the book of Romans, it's another amazing phrase. You can actually put Romans 11 up there. Paul is writing Romans, and he's doing all the stuff about the sin, and you know those gay oaks and the gossipers and all the oaks that are in there, and remember, they all go together, eh? I got this letter the other day from a lady. So I've been in your church for 5 years. I've left now. I've moved down to the Cape. But she said, this is how I came in and this is how I went out. She said, you never actually greeted me, you never met me, but I sat under the theology. You see, if you sit under theology, there are four things that should happen. You should become clean, you should become free, you should become loved, and you should become whole.
Beautiful.
Clean, free, loved, and whole. That's what should happen. And Paul starts to put this whole package together, and then he goes into Romans 8, 9, 10, and 11, and God is going to bring the Jewish people back in, and he took this olive tree, and he pulled a branch out, and he stuck us English oaks, and then you Afrikaans oaks, and then some of your poros. I don't know how he got the Greeks in there, but he managed to get them in there, got the Greek oaks in there. No, don't shoot me. And then he says, you know what, if I can get the English and Afrikaans and Greek oaks in there, don't you think I can get the Jewish guys back in there as well? And then he just stops and he says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. He can't carry on writing. He's just got to stop and worship. And I think sometimes, friends, because we don't know the degree of our sin, we don't understand the depth of what God has done in our lives, and so we don't have the equivalent worship back to God.
Amen.
And so we just kind of think, oh, we're sort of half bad, or not really bad, or not bad. I grew up in it. No, you were a sinner that deserves the wrath of God and the judgment of God, and He came with His grace to set you free. The depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God.
Amen.
Oh! The deep that Paul is writing in the book of Timothy. He's writing about his own forgiveness and he just keeps writing and then he's just going to stop and he says, and now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, God only wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We should not be battling with the sourness of the book of Galatians. We should be bursting out in praise that God has done a deep work that has completely eliminated my past, however dark and dirty it might be, and set me free for a glorious future at this particular time.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen and amen. Amen. Friends, I met a little English pastor, a little flipping oak like this. Brett Nixon James. I was in the same city as him for 15 years in Durban. And we kind of missed each other. And he had a small church and I had a big church. And big church and small church guys don't sort of... And we just kind of like coexisted. And the day I handed over my church on a Sunday night after 15 years, on the Monday morning, Brett phoned me and said, "You need help, China. You got yourself into a tangle. You're exhausted. You don't even believe what you're preaching anymore. You need help. I will take you out for breakfast. I will pay. You talk, I listen." And that man who saved my life is the guy that we invited up to come and do 640 people's marriage counseling. I was standing on the veranda with him on Thursday night. An Afrikaans man, one of the biggest men I've ever seen in my life, with his beard down to his belly button, walked up to this little English guy and he gripped him in his arms and he said, "Dankie, jy het my huwelik gered." Thank you, you saved my marriage. Friends, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Your ways are unsearchable. Your ways, I can't find out your ways. That 12, 13 years ago, you'll use a little English guy to save me because I was exhausted. And 12 years later, we'll use that man to come up to Pretoria to save this hulk of a man's marriage. Because God can do whatever he likes. He's busy weaving. And friends, when you read theology, your response should not be, "I don't understand this." Your response should be, "Even though I don't understand it, I will worship God because his ways are far deeper than mine." Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once," say, "I was once." Close your eyes. I was once, dot, dot, dot. I was once, dot, dot, dot. What were you once, dot, dot, dot? I was once, dot, dot, dot. Yes. Selfish, once, dot, dot, dot. Sexually, once, dot, dot, dot. Dirty, once, dot, dot, dot. This man in the Manchester United, he stood up before friends with a placard in front of this church. And he said, "I was once, dot, 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 a wife beater." His name is Dennis. Turned the other way around is sin. And then he turned it around and he said, "But now,
yes.
But now, I represent Christ."
Amen.
And my wife, the same wife that was beaten at these hands, is loved and cared for and provided for extravagantly by these hands because Jesus Christ came into his life and saved him. His title is not wife beater. His title is son and saved.
Yes.
He's the guy who stood up. He's the guy who's brave enough, because maybe you sitting here and you were not only once, but right now you are dot, 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 a wife beater. "I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man." Say, "Violent man." Remember, this is a lounge, eh? This is not a place to embarrass each other. This is a place where, outside of the kingdom of God, you and I would not be standing here. If you're a violent man, and you want to say, "Today, Lord Jesus, under the preaching of this word, I want to stop my cycles of violence."
Beautiful.
I want you to have the bravery to stand. We should be able to stand in any forum and not be ashamed, because God's busy working with every one of us. "I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord Jesus was poured out on me abundantly." Say abundantly.
Abundantly.
That beautiful girl got saved in our church in Glenridge in Durban. This is her mum sitting here, this beautiful lady. And she had her hair done for the church service last week. And then I asked for a couple of volunteers, and these two guys came up. Then somebody tried to take their place. But you see, it doesn't matter how much water a human being can pour on you, it can never ever get to the depth of your dirt or to the marrow on your soul. You need the abundant outpoured grace of God. You cannot have any human intervention that can get down to the depths of where God needs to get to. And I did this to show that whether you put 500 mils or 550 mils or 6,550 mils, you can never get to the place where God's grace wants to go, into the deepest parts of your heart, that when the enemy comes and he says, I'm just going to undo that button, the King of Heaven steps in and he says, no, you're not going to touch it.
Beautiful.
You're not going to touch it. Why not? Because you don't have the right. Because I bought that button with my life. I bought that button with my life. And then when the invitation comes to the marriage supper of the Lamb, you say, I'm not dressed accordingly. You say, oh no, you dress beautifully. You don't need anything but the robe of Christ. You don't need Botox. You don't need makeup. You don't need fancy shoes. You just come. Book of Galatians. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I think, Paul, geez, you're not such a bad oak. I've met a couple of oaks at 3CR worse than you. You have to understand, friends, to understand God's grace, you have to understand that you are the worst of sinners. Otherwise, you think, they're much worse guys than me. But for that reason, I was shown mercy. So that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience. Say unlimited patience.
Unlimited.
I had a guy stop in front of me the other day, dead, and I nearly hit him. And so I went next to him and I displayed my very limited patience. And he said, thank you, Rory. I'll see you at church on Sunday. Boy, I don't think I will see you at church again. How's your patience?
Sure.
You know what God's patience is with you? Unlimited. Unlimited. Beat her again, Dennis? Again? Why didn't you just leave, Annie? Why didn't you just leave? Because God gave you a promise that his unlimited patience will one day get hold of this Hindu man who drank too much and fought too much, this violent man. You know, when I came to Pretoria, they said they'll sit behind me and they'll just pray for me. They just sit behind me and pray for me. Now we do the gospel together. I tell you, you know, friends, 11 years I've been here now. And I want to tell you, I know there are violent men in this church today. Men whose families live under your anger. Before you leave here today, I'll stay here until the last person leaves. We are going to put a full stop to I once was. Full stop. We're going to put a full stop today.
Yes.
Amen. We're not preaching this gospel for fun. Yeah. We're preaching it so we can change people's lives.
Amen.
And I need patience. If that man is sitting here, I'm sorry. As an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now, you see, he's writing and then he just can't stop. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, God only wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our headmaster at the school I went to, had a famous peach tree in his garden. Every boy that's ever gone there has stolen peaches. Every boy who's ever gone there. But we had a headmaster called Falcon. And one morning he woke up and he saw a boy in his peach tree. It's a famous story. He thought, these guys are going to keep stealing my peaches. So he got his deck chair from his garage. He got a favorite book. And he went and sat under the peach tree for 3 hours. And he read the book from cover to cover. And when he finished, he closed the book and he said, Smith, are you ready to come down now? He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm ready to come down now. And it reminded me of a story of Augustine. You see, Paul was the guy who was caught in religion. He was caught in religion. He believed by persecuting Christians, he was doing God a favor. You don't need to do God favors. He can build the church without you.
Brilliant.
And then Paul says, it's amazing that actually I tried to do God favors and he still called me into his service. But Augustine was a licentious man. Augustine was a sexual pervert. Augustine was a wild man. And Augustine was one of the great theologians who translated Paul's theology and made it accessible to people. So you have this guy who's very religious and this guy who's very sinful, but the book of Galatians set both of them free. And they actually filled up with joy instead of filling up with religious rubbish. And they said to Augustine, there was an apple orchard. His mother said to him, don't go and steal apples, Augustine. But he went and stole apples. And when he had stolen the apples, he fed them to the pigs, and his mother caught him and said, why did you steal the apples? Because the Augustine family was a very wealthy family. They had their own apple orchards. He said, I stole apples because you told me not to steal apples. You see, because all of us want to be our own boss. And Augustine realized when he got saved, the reason why he stole apples, not was because he needed apples, not because he was hungry, because he gave them to the pigs. The reason he stole apples was he didn't want his mother to be his king. He wanted to be his own king. And when he got saved, he realized that there is a king, and that king has authority over my life. And when Paul got saved, he realized there's a king. And then he says, now to the king. Stop living your own independent life. There is a king.
Amen.
And he needs to be worshipped. And he needs to be honored. And he needs to be praised. And that king laid down his life for you and bought your freedom. Honor him as the king.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Now to the king eternal. Say eternal.
Eternal.
Every problem in this auditorium right now is temporal.
Yeah.
Every problem is temporal. And in the book of Psalms, it says, Lord, deliver me from men whose reward is in this life. Every problem is temporal. I was thinking, and I saw some young black guys in the foyer. Racism is a temporal problem. You say, Rory, you don't understand. I don't. You say, you don't understand the wickedness. I don't. But I want to tell you, one day you will be in the presence of the king, and the people that are prejudiced against you, if they do not know Christ, they will be with the devil. You say, well, how long do you have to put up with this? As long as Jesus is not the king of a nation or of a province or of a school, there will always be injustice. If it's not racial, it will be sexual. If it's not sexual, it will be material. But until justice comes, until the king comes, we're going to have to worship the eternal. Otherwise, you're going to be tripped up with temporal things. Your debt is temporal. It will be canceled one day. The government is temporal. I want to tell you, in 100 years' time, we won't even know who Ramaphosa or Zuma are. They're temporal issues. And now the MK party is coming, and Eskom is temporal, and litter. I hate litter. Litter is temporal because there is going to be a beautiful heaven that comes down to earth. This road here, friends, I don't know why it is, but people decide to throw rubbish. I think it's to irritate me. And I get so agitated, or I remember that the king is eternal. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. And you've got to take yourself, friends, into an eternal realm. Otherwise, you're going to be completely crippled by your temporal issues. And instead of saying, oh, God, we're just going to say, oh, South Africa. I am calling you to worship. I am calling you to worship. I am calling you to take the theology of the New Testament and to worship. Above your culture, above your upbringing, above your preference. To the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. There's a man who walked in today, friends. His daughter, her name was Jade. I never even knew her. She stood up in the middle of COVID. She was playing a game with her husband and her brother. She was a mother of two beautiful children. She was healthy. She was successful. She was vibrant. She was fit. She was healthy. And she stood up and she just fell down dead. And the mortality of her body hitting that ground has shaken families in the city. It happened 4 years ago, and today, for the first time, her dad walked into this church, and I looked at him. I thought, I have to preach an immortal God, because there's no ways that you can deal with mortality inside of your humanness. It is too vast. The pain is too deep. And the mortality rate of our nation is high. Every day, 7,000+ people are murdered. Every day, people are dying of disease. Every day, COVID is reaffecting people. I met the lady who's head of the potato organization of South Africa today, and a bug from Brazil has hit the potatoes of South Africa. Friends, there's mortality in bodies. There's mortality in vegetables. My milk goes off. My cheese goes rotten. My bread goes moldy. And we're sitting inside and say, what are you doing about it? And I say, oh, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, God only wise. Friends, I have to rise above the circumstances and situations of my life and give God the worship that He deserves. Otherwise, I'm going to get stuck. You say, oh, Rory, let's go, friends. Every time I put the shirt on, so oh, that's some. I'm a pastor, friends. We sat this week at a steakhouse with my friends who lost their daughter and my friends from England. And we sat talking and just normal conversation. Next minute, just crying. Holding hands, praying. Mortality is so deep. And it has effect on every part of the soul. And I look into that man's eyes at the coffee shop and there's part of his eyes that are just dead. But my God is still immortal.
Yes.
My God is still immortal. And if our land is dying, and this is dying, and that is dying, some of our family members are dying. I met a man on the side of a cricket field. Met a man. His wife's name is the same as my sister. So just from meeting him on the side of the cricket field, we got chatting. Our sons became friends. They started to come to this church. He walked up to me today and he said, hey, Ro, my mum is about to die. Will you do her funeral? Friends, we are surrounded by mortality. But inside of this book is an immortal God who doesn't rust. He has no mold. He's got no death. Another word is imperishable. And while you are suffering under the perishableness of your own child's life, I want to remind you that God is immortal.
Amen.
Amen. And so when you write theology, friends, it's not meant to take the joy from us. Theology is meant to, in the midst of our pain, undergird us so that we can worship. My mum used to, because you know I'm the son of an Anglican minister. And just for those who don't know how the Word of God lives, when I got ordained, I inherited my grandfather's Bible. And my grandfather married this beautiful lady and her husband. If I remember, 1962. No? You can't even remember it so long ago.
55 years ago now.
55. But the Bible that my grandfather used to marry them, on the day of my ordination, I inherited that Bible from my grandmother. And she wrote in there,
about my ordination. And when I did her husband's funeral, I did the funeral with the same Bible that my grandfather did the wedding with. Because this lasts forever. My friend Brett, who did the marriage course, his wife is an amazing lady. And God said to her, you must restore the park in your city, in your neighborhood, because I created a garden in the book of Genesis, and I want to create a safe space where all the people of this community will come and play. So she just started to fix the park, and she got sponsorships, and she got the equipment, and then the community started to come out, and everybody started to play, and people started to share, and they're starting to build community. And then she said that you must keep it safe, so you must employ people to keep the neighborhood safe, and then you must clean the neighborhood, so you must keep the neighborhood safe. And then Suleiman, the Indian neighbor, came to her and said, hey, Cherry, you need a bucky. Exact words. He said, yes, I need a bucky. He said, I'll give you a bucky. And he says, do you need a bucky with sign writing? He said, yeah. He said, I'll give you a bucky with sign. You see, because he's an invisible God, we just do what God does, and God can use Suleiman to provide the bucky if he needs to. You know, Carl, he just had a hip replacement. I remember the Sunday that you walked into this church. You hadn't been in church, if I remember, for 20 years, or maybe 10. Let's say 10, so I don't exaggerate. But we were in a tent, we were this way. I remember where you came, you walked in and you sat on that side. And at about the same time, an orthopedic surgeon also joined this church. And he's very specialized in his field, and he came and he started to worship in the church. And through our friendship with you and him, and you had a friend in this church that I offended by something I said, and you SMS'd me, and I had to say sorry, and we restored that friendship because of you. And then when you needed a doctor, I referred you to my friend who's a doctor, and he did your operation. And God is invisible. He's just busy working. He's busy working. And your nephew never celebrated Christmas, and then he dated one of our girls, and we celebrated Christmas, which I don't really do. And then I said, well, just come to our church anyway while you date the daughter. And then I did the wedding, and at the wedding I met you, and then I met your wife. And because of the wedding of a guy that never celebrated Christmas, you ended up coming to church, and then you bring your family, and the invisible God is busy working. And then you sell a car to somebody, and now you're sitting next to the guy that you've sold so many cars to, because the way you sell cars is honorable, and so that guy sits next to you. So who should we sit next to now? Well, let's sit next to the guy who sells us cars, because... Say this with me, now.
Now.
To the King.
To the King.
Eternal.
Eternal.
Immortal.
Immortal.
Invisible.
Invisible.
God only wise.
God only wise.
Be honor and glory.
Be honor and glory.
Forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.